Tonight's passage from the Epistle of James scares the living daylights out of me. Apparently my tongue is, according to the NRSV, a deadly fire. It stains the whole body. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. And as one who speaks to the gathered community, I will be judged with greater strictness for my speech and my actions. And that is as it should be. And I should be quaking in my boots, and believe me, I am. I quake every time before I preach. If biblical commentaries are any guide, the passage is often used to preach against gossip, that vicious and usually female sharing of stories which can be so toxic. And when the text is preached in this way, the sermon becomes focused on individual moral improvement, and it implicitly condemns the ways women sin. Now, I'm a woman who spends a lot of time every day chatting with people about people. And when the text is preached in this way, and there's no doubt in my mind that careless and malicious words can be incredibly destructive. But I think we all know that. So I'd like to take a step back and have a look at the text again, in context and then in our context. Because maybe it's not just about tongue wagging and how we all need to change our individual ways. Maybe it's bigger than that. The Epistle of James was written to Jewish Christian groups. As such, it contains the big themes of Judaism. It touches on the importance of neighbourliness. It has references to the commandments and to the law. It echoes the prophetic calls to justice, and it has a focus on caring for widows and orphans and the poor, so important to the people of Israel. So it's a letter written to communities which are deeply rooted in Israel's way of life. And Israel had a strong tradition of right speech. It's so important that it crops up in the commandments. Moses and the people of Israel are ordered, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour." Now, this emphasis on right speech is not about being a good individual who gets points in heaven for saying and doing the right thing. Instead, like all of the commandments and the exhortations of the prophets, it's about building community. And right speech is important to community because, as Walter Brueggemann put it, real community depends on reliable truth-telling. Not on saying nice things, but on telling the truth, naming the powers, and sharing stories about God. Now, because this is a 12-minute sermon slot, I won't list all the ways that the church must engage in prophetic truth-telling and challenge the destructive lies that dominate our lives. Nathan and I do that all the time. So I think we get it. But what I will say tonight is that meaningful truth-telling emerges from community. That is, from a group of people building each other up in love, listening for the voice of God, and finding ways to speak that truth into every context. But this corporate identity from which truth emerges, this communal wisdom, isn't formed out of thin air. And now we come back to gossip. Now, gossip is a funny old word. Originally, it referred to a baptismal sponsor, the sibling in God, the God-sib, one's spiritual brother or sister. In the role of sponsor, the God-sib or the gossip spoke on behalf of the baptismal candidate and vouched for them. And you can hear echoes of this word in gospel. And that comes from the Old English for God and story. God spell, gospel. So a gospel is a story about God, and a gossip was a sibling in God. Now, over the years, the meaning of gossip shifted and changed. It became feminised. It spread into a verb or a doing word, and it took on pretty nasty overtones. And there's no question that gossip can be harmful and destructive. If this epistle was written today, the writer might use the phrase going viral to describe the contagiousness of thoughtless, vicious, or malicious communication. And we all know how nasty that can get. And yet, gossip can also be incredibly enriching, especially for a church like ours. The original recipients of this letter, like most people in human history, lived in small communities. There were no cars or trains or bicycles. And, sorry to say, Olivia, most people couldn't afford horses. People in Christian communities lived within a short walk of each other, and their lives were enmeshed in very deep and complex ways. But we don't live in a small village or an enmeshed community. We don't really know the ins and outs of each other's lives, who each other's third cousin was and who married whom. Our kids don't go to the same schools. We don't shop at the same shops. And very few of our other relationships overlap with our church relationships. Instead, we're highly mobile residents of a very big city. We come from all over. We don't have shared family, clan, or even national backgrounds. We had very different upbringings from each other. We eat different foods and we speak different languages in our homes. So in a commuting congregation like ours, it's very easy to slip in and out and never form any meaningful relationships within the congregation. So unless we share stories about each other and about ourselves, we can't really know each other. In other words, without gossip, we can't understand each other's histories. We can't forgive each other's foibles. We can't really form community, and we cannot learn to love. For us, gossip done well is the glue that binds us. It brings us together as God's sibs, brothers and sisters in God. Gossip asserts that we care enough about each other to listen to each other's stories and to entrust our stories to each other. Good gossip helps us develop a sense of solidarity and a shared identity as together we all look for God's fingerprints in our lives. One of the biggest temptations for the church, any church, is to look around wistfully, wondering where God is. Most of us suffer from the illusion that God is always more active and more present in some other place or at some other time. But in our worship service, we affirm that in the form of Christ, he ascended into heaven to be everywhere present. And that includes here and now. And that here and now God isn't hiding in a cloud or up a tree or in a volcano or in a very special person. It's the here and now of the gathered community and the Eucharist. When we recognise in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine the real presence of Christ in the world. The presence that has drawn us in and is revealed to us, the gathered community, the body of Christ. And when we affirm this presence, we also implicitly affirm that God is not found in some abstract ideal community of perfect people. Instead, God in Christ is found in the community we are in, right here and right now. But for us to be able to recognise this presence, we do need to form community. And to form community, we need to love one another. To love one another, we need to know one another. And to know one another requires holy gossip. So I'm inviting you all to become good gossips. God sibs, siblings in God. People who tell stories and people who ponder. People who ask themselves good questions about other people's stories. People who wonder why a story was told and what it might reveal about the storyteller. People who will look for God's action in a narrative, in a life, and in our common life. Gossip like this, listening in love to each other's stories and seeking the presence of God, will help this commuting congregation build connection and community. It will help us grow in love. Even more, as we gossips tell and retell each other's stories, wrestling with how they intertwine with and reflect the biggest story of all, our stories will gradually become something else. God's stories, gospels, stories about God. For we are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us, right here, right now. So let us witness with our lives and our words that the reign of Christ has come. Hallelujah and Amen.